When you look in a mirror, you are what doesn't show up in the mirror and will never show up in a mirror. And the problem for the ego is it wants to show up in a mirror because it's terrified that if it doesn't show up as an object in the world, then it doesn't really exist. It feels this terror of being unreal. And so it ends up using everyone else as a mirror. And that it engages in what is called mimesis, or imitation. People imitate each other to feel real because they project that the other one's real. So if I act like the other one, then I must be real too. But of course, the other one's doing the same thing to you. So when we meditate, we give up the search for the self in any mirror. We give up the futile quest to try to grasp the self as an object or even as a stream of consciousness, because we recognize that the stream of consciousness are just also objects, words in the mind that try to give us a semblance of reality. But because the words are constantly shifting, the ideas are changing, the self becomes even more amorphous. And because of internal conflicts in what we desire, these end up becoming autonomous complexes in the mind. And then we feel split and fragmented to whatever extent we identify with words, with images, with patterns of behavior, with imitations of what we see in other people or what we have internalized as a superego or as an ego ideal, a self-concept of what we should be that we've taken from others. But all of that just continues to alienate us further from the real self. So when we meditate, we give up that futile quest to understand the self as an object and we turn inward to what is the real source of our subjectivity. But to find that, we must go also beyond this duality of subject and object. Because when we go to the source, what we find is pure mystery. There is no subject that can be pinpointed either. And any attempt to pinpoint the subject turns it into an object. This is the great paradox. As soon as you think you understand yourself, you have created another little voodoo doll that then you begin to worship, but that isn't it either. The one who's doing the worship is always beyond whatever you can grasp to worship. So we have to be content with the fact that the self is mystery, is ultimately and forever mysterious and undefinable. And once we accept that the I of each of us is the undescribable mystery, we can let go of the quest for the self and realize the self. Now in India, one of the metaphors for God or the supreme being, the supreme self, Paramatman, is often couched in words like Gyan Ke Sagar, Prem Ke Sagar. Sagar means ocean. God is considered the ocean of consciousness, the ocean of love. But what they mean by using this metaphor of ocean is that it is limitless, boundless, and yet absolutely fully present. The waves of that ocean are here and now. We are in that ocean. You can't avoid that ocean. It's all that is. But the ego mind has learned to create the illusion of extracting itself from this oceanic, vast, limitless, mysterious being and to focus on some object floating in the ocean and say, ah, that's me. All the time forgetting the fact that the one who's pointing and saying, that's me, cannot be that. And if we turn around that pointer and again realize that I am the ocean, I am simply the ground of consciousness, not the figure, as the gestalt psychologists realize, that we are trained to create gestalts. We're contained to see this vast ground and focus on one little thing. And all we see is that little figure, and the whole ground gets lost. And that's what the ego does. And that's why we have lost our realization of nature. Nature has just become a background, a backdrop for the little human melodramas. And so it's no longer honored, just as God is no longer honored or even believed in. The more that we make this figure ground gestalt movement of the mind, the more we become very small, tiny, petty little creatures that we focus on, because we only can focus on something we understand. And so that limits us to imagining that we are a body operating in a very linear way through time and space. But the consciousness, the oceanic consciousness that even conceives of that, that is the very possibility of a world appearing to us, never appears in that world. Just as when you're in a dream, the mind that's dreaming up that dream doesn't appear in the dream. And so this cosmic mind, that is the ocean in which our entire phenomenal reality is floating as a tiny speck of dust on a quantum wave within an ocean of limitless, infinite numbers of quantum potentialities, is eternally in that state of absolute bliss. Because the bliss is the consequence of being undefinable, of being beyond objectification. And it is that transcendence that is inherent to our true nature that makes it possible to love. Because love is the realization that we are all floating in this ocean of consciousness, and that ultimately we are all waves of the same ocean. And so when we meditate, we let go of any kind of objectification of anything that appears in that ocean, and we return to a unity of consciousness that has not divided things into subject and ground. But in a way, as Winnicott, the psychoanalyst that we're studying this moment, says, that the infant before the ego is created is in a state of unintegration. But what that means is it has not yet contracted itself. I would say it's an uncontracted state. It is back in the vastness of that oceanic realization of all that is. Well, we can return to that state without losing the capacity to understand and symbolically analyze. But if we realize that the self that has that capacity is beyond and is untouched by the movements of the waves of the ocean, because it is itself the very water of that ocean, then the mind lets go of all of its concern for whatever object appears. It lets go of worry, of anxiety, of fear, of identification. And you can again experience what it is to be, not to do, not to have, not to want, not to fear, but simply to be. And it turns out that simply being is the most miraculous state we can achieve. And we are already that. And so simply eliminating the externalization of the self into an object and into some entity that appears in consciousness, and returning to the self that never appears, but is presence itself, is the completion of the journey. Nothing more need to be gained than what we already are and have always been. Simply to be contented with being, and to allow that contentment to disseminate its waves of peace and bliss throughout the whole organism and throughout all of the levels and layers of the mind, until all of those different complexes are again permeated by peace and magnetized back to dissolve into the ocean. And it's a very beautiful process if you will allow it gracefully to happen, that all of those elements of consciousness that have been out there dealing with the world and all of its different aspects can now return to the center and dissolve in the ocean of the true self. It's the ultimate enjoyment, liberation.